Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Okay, today we're going to do a short devotion on the third day of creation. I call it Third Day Doubly Good. If we're paying attention, we notice something ominous about the second day of creation. It was the only day out of the 6 days of creation that God did not mention that God saw that it was good. Now, at the end, at the sixth day, he did say he looked at everything that he had made and it was very good. So we know that the second day creation was good, but I think the phrase God saw that it was good is omitted from that day for a reason. I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts on that. Recall that on that day, he separated the waters above and below by an expanse he called heaven. Now, I'll suggest for your consideration that this may have been at least for two reasons. First, at the end of the second day, the heavenly environment was, as yet, incomplete. God wasn't finished with it. For we read in Genesis chapter 7 that in Noah's day, he poured out a massive flood of rain from the upper waters, thus depleting them and fundamentally changing both them and the environment of the planet. Secondly, as stated, the upper waters were used for a massive judgment upon a completely depraved and wicked mankind. God, being omniscient and knowing beforehand that this would become necessary, did not declare his tool of judgment to be good in this case. I'll mention also here a third possible reason, but I'll wait to save that for later. Now, on to the third day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. The appearance of land, God said, was good. It's one of the seven times good is used in this chapter. Clearly, God elevated the planet's crust in some areas and lowered it in others to achieve this. We should also note that this was the reappearance of the land, for we see that in the beginning God made the planet complete and beautiful, the heaven and the earth, remember? Then, during the ruinous chaos, tohu bohu, it is evident that waters, that is the deep, covered all of it, just as with the flood of Noah's day. In Genesis 1:2, it is the Spirit of God that initiated the act of redemption as he brooded over the waters of the wasted planet. Then the Logos, the Word, began to work as God uttered, "Let there be light." So here we see the Trinity in unison. John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made." That's John 1:1-3. Father God called the land earth, which is sometimes the name in prophetic literature, the prophetic picture in Hebrew for Israel. While the seas are a picture in prophecy of the Gentile nations. Well, that's fitting. For while the earth remained covered by water on the second day, there was no mention that it was good, but when the earth appeared, God said it was good. Israel is his land and his people among the Gentiles, or as they're called, the nations. Through the prophet Joel, he said in Joel 3:2, "I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people, and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And God said, let the earth, this is verse 11 in Genesis 1, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. God saw that it was good. Well, that's a second good, isn't it? God's desire for his creation and his people is fruitfulness. To living creatures he made on the fifth day, he spoke, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply on the earth. To Adam and Eve, it's recorded, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God the Son, who is the Logos, the Word, and the agent of God's creation here, thousands of years later, said to his disciples, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. It's John 15:8. And he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. So, both the appearance of the earth, which is the picture of his people, and the fruitfulness of the earth, which is the picture of his people abiding in him, he saw as good, doubly good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.